¿Hay amor o no hay amor?
Dímelo. ¡Ajá!
Good morning, Orville. Today's Friday, 11th of May, and right now it's hazy and a little bit cooler after last night's short shower, and the weather forecast for today is clear with the temperatures ranging from low of 29 to high of 33 degrees Celsius and with a heat index on 40 degrees. It will be windy with winds from the south at 20 to 30 kilometers per hour. Weather people predicts for later on partly cloudy with thunderstorms in the evening, then clear with the chance of a thunderstorm and rain. Again, the winds from the south at 15 to 30 km per hour, and chance of rain is on 80%. Moon is waning gibbous, illuminated on 69%. Yesterday, recording of information and sharing meeting of L'Avenir at Sautru will be published on our page today, but here's an interview with Reno and her reflections on it. Good morning, Reno.
Good morning, Miriam.
After a long time. First, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Yesterday meeting was interesting, but the rain somehow stopped it and it was late. How you feel about it?
I think it was a good presentation and I think it was interesting. I think it should have happened probably 6 months earlier. I think we all agreed on that. But we weren't ready with it then. And I think it should happen again, perhaps when there's more people in town, because it wasn't so well attended as we are in our skeleton crew in the summer here in Oroville. Many people are gone already. So I think it's often the summers are heated, and I think one should maybe not be in such a hurry to make big changes in the summer when less people are here, because there is less participation and then also more frustration afterwards.
That is very much true, but the way I see that, more than 110-120, you never get to those meetings.
That is true too, but still I think the usual 40 was reduced, or the usual 60 people that come was reduced by half.
But still there were some, let's say, honesty or openness at the end?
I think so. I think it was a very honest meeting, and I think, in fact, more can be said when it's a smaller group like that. And, of course, there are so many issues now in Oroville. There is so much division, and so a bit of... It's not lack of transparency, as Elvira clearly pointed out. It's not a lack of transparency, but certain things are confidential for certain reasons, because of either law or personal reasons, etc. So, I think... But where it concerns major decisions, land sales and things like that, exchanges, a little bit more transparency would be good. However, sometimes for purchases and things like that, once, the agreed piece of land, it's gone through a community process and the community agrees to sell it, I'm okay with it not being so transparent, because now Balabhaskar is going with full disclosure, because so much hanky-panky is going on and so many people around us are desperate for money and are maligning Oroville, which is what was explained yesterday, and even elements within Oroville that would like to gain perhaps more capital from their land or whatever it is are also maligning Oroville. So there's a lot of people here right now that are... and I think that was also expressed, the frustration in the end, where people were saying, well, why do you guys want to quit? And why do you guys want to leave? And when, Christo pointedly said, I don't know. I mean, I'm barely managing on a maintenance, and I'm giving building permissions to people for their garages. And at some point, it's a bit, you feel a bit like, why are you working so hard to build an Oroville that nobody else is participating and wanting to build? And that can be a little bit...
It's another issue, yeah? If you need a garage, you come here to build a villa and garage, what you came here for?
I think it's also, I'm not all black and white in these things, because I think these are natural urban problems, and just look at the creativity, realization, Vikas, parking and access issues. And when you see, here we are at the next stage of trying to develop the next step of the infrastructure so that the movement, so that the basis is in basically a little bit more in place for whatever is going to come next on the physical aspect of, you know, mobility, etc., in the city. And there's so much needs to be worked out. I mean, as they pointedly also talked about the Crown Road and the speed that you want to go down it because of its, you know, unhindered view and perfect curve. I mean, of course you want to speed down that road. So I feel it's a bit foolish and unimaginative from our side to say, oh, it's a question of consciousness. Yes, that's definitely a part of it. But how is it possible that we don't have the consciousness to implement beautiful and intelligent designs that make you want to go slow? In fact, the illegal road I find by the kindergarten, going past the kindergarten to Solar Kitchen, you know, at the Bharat Nivas turnoff, except for that one dangerous corner, I find makes you want to go much slower because it's a bit curved. It goes up and down. And I find it a much more pleasant road than the stress I feel in the shoulders and the, at least I get to clean out my carburetor on the ring road. But it's true, you just want to go fast.
It's complexity of the city, complexity of everything.
It's a toss-up between our own personal comfort today and the ground rules for what we're setting down tomorrow. And it's true that we are still in a pioneering kind of construction phase here, and it's not going to be comfortable. And if that's not what's the project even of Oroville about, it's not that it's supposed to be annoying and purposefully irritating, even though that happens to be often the case. We don't have to add to it. I'm not saying that, but I think that's been going on since a long time. I think since 1984, there was a kind of psychological okay. Everybody can go out and try and make a little bit of money for themselves to fix up their houses. And from 84, that never stopped. And that whole trend went into, you know, units managing their own thing and not taking out of the central fund. Before, it was very taboo to be out of the central fund. You were considered an outsider if you weren't part of the central fund kind of thing. And some point in 84, everybody needed, you know, and the central fund didn't have enough to fix the leaky roofs or feed the babies or whatnot. And so there was a movement.
So just close their eyes and that's it?
No, it was like everybody was like, okay, manage on your own, man. We can't do it. And that's what happened. And everybody dropped their arms. And since then, nobody remembered that, you know, you can lift them again, you can clap, you can wave them. You do a lot of things with those arms. They don't just have to be hanging down there. But, you know, Miriam, there's many things that weren't said in the meeting, and I think there were many frustrations like what we're talking about that hadn't been fully discussed. Also, I think, you know, one thing I did want to say about was that financially, you know, we had changed the position from the previous Lavenir that had created a sort of kitty where they could help each other who were in financial need to sort of supplement their maintenances. And it was a very unpopular move. But actually, we shot ourselves a little bit in the foot because we said, no, how is it possible that teachers who work full-time in Oroville should get a maintenance, and why should people working in Lavenir get, you know, three times the amount that the teachers are getting? What are you doing that's more special than teaching, for example? I think that was, in a way, unrealistic, because at some point on a community level, we have to raise the bar and allow people. I think one should raise the bar for the teachers or allow them to create a supplemental income budget. And the same thing I think one has to do for Lavenir and manage it in a very transparent and open way. But for some people, it has become financially very, very difficult to sit there full time, try and do a good job when you can't make ends meet. And for a lot of us, it's been that way. So, and I also want to mention that a lot of the staff that stayed on and that had been paid more, I think they did an incredible job. I'm talking about Dina, and I'm talking about Viji, and now we have Barani, the new secretary. I mean, but specifically somebody like the accountant, Dina, who had a pretty much, you know, a livable maintenance and had to undergo living like all of us and, you know, relearning how to do the accounts and get outside jobs to manage and supplement his maintenance. It was difficult for them because they were all kind of, you know, and it was very difficult for him for 1 year. And I have to say, Dina's one of my good friends now, and I think if we manage to do that in the office in 2 years, that in itself is great, that we're all still friends, even though we all took a beating. And, you know, it was a bit of a hostile environment, you know, that we were dropped in when we first came because it was a sort of takeover, you know. So it was like, it was, yeah, it was tense.
So 2 years is too short, isn't it?
2 years is too short because you're just getting into your stride. But at the same time, it's also enough time to know what works and what doesn't work. So it is time for a little reshuffling. And who works and who doesn't work and how you want to work. And, you know, we were very varied groups, very different visions. And some of the basic ideologies and philosophical questions that Jill was bringing up in the meeting absolutely need to be talked about. I don't know if that was the exact right place. I think it was an interesting discussion. Absolutely needs to be had because it is what is preventing the next step to take place. And I feel like there's really a old tendency, I'm sorry to say, of materializing a particular type of vision that has outgrown its purpose. And in fact, I think it'll refine its true thing. Because when I listen to Jacqueline and I hear what she talks about the international zone and the cultural zone, I think there will be a time and a place for all of that. But I believe if we don't take care of the expanded galaxy, because I think the whole thing has expanded, you know, times have changed and we have to step back a little bit and say, oh, personally, this is how I feel. I don't feel like it's so microscopic and on the city level anymore. For me, the lines of force in Auroville are the land that goes from here to Annapurna, from Matramandir to Eternity, from Matramandir to Quiet, from Matramandir to Four Comers, from Matramandir to, you know, the lake. And all of these are the big lines of force for me. And if Auroville can anchor itself in this bioregional plan and make a land use plan that makes sense and is anchored in common sense, water conversation for the good of all, and that we're not just planning in a tiny microcosm of a city, but we're actually fitting the whole thing in a whole
in
thing
the region.
In the whole region, and that is why we exist and we're here. Then eventually, I believe, we will be able to work on the whole center area, and this whole city will eventually. Because I haven't seen, sorry to say, yet anything that goes, yeah, that's it. There's like, yeah, not too bad, not too bad, but it's not yet. That's it. So I don't see why we should be...
We should be accepting that. Okay, that's okay, but not...
I think we should say, hey, let's give space for all of those visions to truly find their true manifestation, but let's anchor and save this whole area so it can exist so that future generations can manifest Auroville. That's what I think we should do, and we should be very, very careful today because there's a very... strong tendency of a lot of people who feel very frustrated and will by any means necessary build a city because they don't feel that they have served their contract to mother properly unless they do that. And I think this is an old, it's a very good passion and a very good devotion, but the means are past, there's a new paradigm and there's a new way of doing things that don't evolve so much brouhaha, that collaborate more with nature and that are more anchored in common sense. I hope that in the next 5 years, at the same time, we cannot be idle and stop everything from happening because there's too much at stake to lose. So we have to be administratively very smart. But I wish that suddenly everybody's eyes could back up. The focus doesn't have to be on our backyard, our little Matramandir garden, and our forest zones and our lines of force. Even that work can continue. Let that work continue separately, unhindered, on the side. But the real work to take place is on a much larger scale, and that will ensure that all of these other things are later possible.
Thank you for the day.
Thank you.
The working committee requests that no mail, message, petition, and etc. regarding to the Felicity Exchange be published by anyone in the News and Notes and on Auronet without being vetted by working committee. We need to inform the working committee and or land management task force before the publication of any mail, message, petition on this topic in order to vet if any information confidential in nature that might be detrimental to the purposed exchange is not contained therein. A news team informs us that the News and Notes team will be on 1 week break from Monday 27th of May until Sunday 3rd of June, and therefore there will be no news issued on Saturday 2nd of June and no messenger service during this time. they're asking us to send our announcements accordingly. As every 12th of month, in 2012, the Women's Circle meets at Unity Pavilion at 5 p.m. Breathing exercises to the Panchamama, Panorhythmics, Eternity Game, and everything else you can bring to the circle, and everybody is welcome. At Marutum Healing Center on Sunday, 13th of May, between 10:30 to 12:30 a.m. will be a herbal food cooking class with recipe on summer special to make the body cool. And here are some announcements on closed places. Our Lake Cafeteria will be closed on 12, 13 and 14 of May as the staff is going on their annual tour. The cafeteria will function from 15 of May onward. Graphic section will be closed from 16 of May until 31st of May for summer vacation. Only the photocopy section will be open from 9:30 to 12:30 p.m. Latter Us will remain closed for general renovation and maintenance work from Thursday, 17 of May until Thursday, 24th of May. They will be open from Friday, 25th as usual. GP Cafe will be closed for dinner on Saturday, 12th of May due to its full day cleanup day. And about the films, tonight at the bar at Nivas at 7:30 p.m. we can see French film Hands Up, written and directed by Romain Gopul, made in France in 2010. And at Echo Film Club Sadana Forest tonight at 7 p.m. they will screen BBC documentary How the Earth Made Us, Deep Earth. And at Cinema Paradiso Town Hall tomorrow at 8 p.m. we can see an international comedy drama, Seducing Dr. Louise, made in Canada in 2003 by director Jean-Francois Poulon. And on Sunday at 4:30 p.m. also at Cinema Paradiso, children can see animation action family Astro Boy, made in USA in 2009 by director David Bowers. Later on at 8 p.m. at Festival of Chinese Fantasy Movie at Cine Club, they will screen Shiman Meifu, House of the Flying Daggers, made in China in 2004 by director Yumo Zhang. Make me entirely transparent so that my consciousness may unite with thine. I aspire to place at thy feet all the riches of this world, wrote the mother. Thank you for listening to us, and you can contact us on ourworldradio.org.